we saw this, I don't know if we want to go as far as saying half the games last week, but a great proportion of them, where it's a carryover effect from preseason, and last night was not really any better.
No, it wasn't, and I appreciate you having me back, man. Yeah, it just wasn't pretty offensively, you know. I thought Jameis, you know, did okay compared to, you know, kind of what we thought, but, you know, really you look at the Carolina Panthers and you look at their offense, and it's just not there. There's something wrong with Cam. It might be his shoulder. It might be his foot. Might be a combination of all of that. But, you know, one thing that I do know is that towards the end of the game, when you need 1 yard, I love Christian McCaffrey. But if your quarterback's 6'6" and a half and he can't get you that yard, half of a yard, you got a big problem. And we saw it last night.
Yeah, you don't even have to get in the end zone. You just got to pick up that. And then you got a new set of downs. And, yeah, whatever that play call was, there's – and look, you can't, run away from that other stat. The fact now Cam Newton, 0-8 in his last 8 starts.
Yeah, he is. You know, the Panthers are what, 1-9. You know, in their last 10 games. I mean, obviously, you know, he was injured last year, and we see the result of where that team is. You know, and now that you have to kind of worry a little bit. You know, with them being 0-2, and you know what we talked about this offseason in terms of a new owner and David Tepper, who really doesn't waste any time really on anything. And not saying that Ron Rivera's coaching for his job, but Ron Rivera might be coaching for his job later this year.
Oh, by the way, some interesting games as far as the AFC South. First, the non-Tennessee Titans one, the Houston Texans. You know, emotionally, you're talking about a team that just felt like they did everything they needed to do and beat a crowd like that. I mean, to go on the road and be in a position to knock off the Saints in the Superdome, and that's what they had accomplished until they didn't, as the Saints with a 58-yard field goal as time expires. But I think that for the Houston, if this game had been scheduled for Jacksonville this week, I would look at this contest a lot differently. But the fact that Houston is going to get a major bump from their fans, their 8.5-point favorites, and the fact that Jaguars have just struggled mightily on the road in AFC South games, over, you know, when you think about, I guess, what, last 5+ years, 2-14 in their last 16 road contests, and I know you alluded to that as well. And the other part of that is it's one thing when you're not expected to play and then you're inserted in the lineup, you don't really have the butterflies like Gardner Minshew was forced into action after Nick Foles goes down. But now you have all week. You know you're the guy now, at least for another week or two, until Josh Dobbs, you know, picks up the playbook and has a chance to beat you out. This game screams Houston all over it.
Yeah, it does. I'm with you on that totally. And, you know, you're right. Like, you know, for Minshew, the quarterback, you know, with Jacksonville, you know, yeah, I mean, it's one thing, you know, when you're, you know, on the sideline having some Gatorade with a headset on trying to help, you know, Nick Foles out there. And then you see him go down with a broken clavicle, you know, and the coach goes over and is like, hey, kid, you're in the game now. You know, you really don't have time to think about it. But then, you know, after that, you do. You've got all week to think about it. Not only that, the coach is putting, you know, more on you in terms of the playbook. The entire team is looking at you. He probably doesn't know half the guys that are on that team, you know, in terms of full names and where they're from, things like that. Plus, you've got family and friends that are hitting you up for tickets. They want to come see your first start. I mean, it's a lot, man. There's a whole lot going on with that. And then, you know, couple in with exactly what you said, going on the road against the team. Yeah, I mean, Houston had New Orleans beat. That's a brutal loss for them. You know, so we'll see what goes on. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, if you're getting 8.5 points in the league, like, that's – you're a huge, huge favorite. You know, and we'll see. We'll see, with the, you know, in terms of covering. But, yeah, I mean, this should be a game that Houston wins, you know, pretty easily. No win is easy in the NFL, but this one shouldn't be too terribly close.
Am I misreading this, the fact that the Eagles on the road and they're also a 2-point favorite – in Atlanta Sunday night? And I understand Atlanta looked awful against Minnesota, but Atlanta was one of those teams that I thought did not prepare themselves enough with those preseason games as well. I just don't see Atlanta, especially a team that's looking to compete in the NFC South, I just don't see them losing this game against the Eagles Sunday night.
Yeah, no, like, are we looking at that Falcons game, you know, week one against, you know, Minnesota and thinking that, you know, Atlanta's pretty bad? Because I'll be honest, Minnesota's pretty good. Like, they're a good football team. They're going to be competing, you know, for a playoff spot, you know, here in about 15 weeks. But yeah, I mean, we'll find out, you know, and what we just talked about in terms of Carolina, Atlanta's in the same boat because they've got a head coach in Dan Quinn who is absolutely fighting for his job. And if Atlanta can't figure it out now, I mean, if you go up and down that roster, you know, I'm not somebody that looks at paper. I like to see what, you know, what guys do on the field, but there might not be a team in the NFL that has a better, you know, roster from 1 to 53 than Atlanta. I mean, teams would kill to have an MVP quarterback in Matt Ryan and have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Devontae Freeman to keep going, right? So, I mean, they've got to figure this thing out. Now, I could be wrong in this, and I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you or not. I think we have a lot of road favorites this week. I think there are like 6 or 7. They might not all, you know, they might not all be, you know, like the Eagles and Falcons.
Well, the Chargers, are favored by 2 on the road at Detroit. You also have, let's see, the other team. Well, we mentioned Philadelphia being the 2-point favorite against Atlanta. Buffalo, a 1.5-point favorite at the New York Giants, and then you have Chicago, a 2.5-point favorite at Denver, just to name a few.
Yeah, and I think where's that Browns Jets game? Is that in New York?
Yeah, that game, and that's, you know, entirely different situation. The Browns, they were a 2-point favorite on Monday night. Now they're 6.5-point favorite against the Jets, where no Sam Darnold, out indefinitely with the mono, and insert Trevor Siemian. So
and you're right. Like that doesn't belong, you know, in that same category. And tough break for your Jets, man. Like you go from, you know, having 4 or 5 turnovers on the Bills in the first half in week 1 to losing that game. Now your quarterback's out. He's being quarantined in his apartment. We don't know what's going on with Le'Veon Bell's shoulder. It's just brutal, man. I hate it for you.
Hey, by the way, Kansas City, you know, they had a road game at Jacksonville, and now they've got to go all the way across the country to take on the Raiders. And I understand the Chiefs and what they do on offense. But, you know, to me, this Oakland Raiders team, look, they don't care if you believe in them or if I believe them or whatever the case may be. They believe in themselves. Josh Jacobs is the real deal as far as at running back. And look, I think this team can do enough things to keep this game interesting as far as a one-score game. That's why I actually like Oakland +7, mainly, too, the fact that most of the public love Kansas City in this situation.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Anytime that, no offense to anybody listening, but you can fade the public, you do so when it's a high number like that. And especially it being a division game, right? Like, it, you know, that's a classic, you know, hatred type game. And if you look, you know, historically, those games end up closer, you know, than blowouts. So I'm with you, you know, and I think that, you know, being juiced up to start a year, especially after a big win like the Raiders had, you know, that there's a finite amount, you know, that you can run on that. And then eventually, you know, you have to fill up the gas tank, so to say, you know, with more players. And I hated to see them lose Jonathan Abram, their star rookie safety. But they're a good team, man. They're young. And I think if they can keep a good attitude, you know, and kind of rally around the point that Antonio Brown is not there, you know, we'll see what they can do. Because, you know, again, man, you know, upsets aren't really upsets in the NFL. Like, anybody can go out and get beat, you know, really at any time. You got 53 professionals out there, so should be fun, man. Like, I think it's good. I think Big Two's gonna be great.
How many times when a team is heavy favorites like the Patriots find themselves, you know, 19-point favorites on the road against the Dolphins? And look, it seemed quite obvious that the Dolphins were tanking last week against Baltimore. My assumption is, look, they're still in the NFL, and I don't think they're going to be allowed to get away with it against the Patriots. I think they can run the ball and have enough success where basically you have to wait around the fourth quarter, not for the outcome of the game or whether or not your team is on the right side as far as covering or not covering in this game. That's why I like the Dolphins. Once again, it's another game where the public love the Patriots. I mean, they figure that if the Patriots can win by 30 points against Pittsburgh, then certainly they can do the same thing against a very bad Dolphins team that lost 59-10. But I think the other part of it, too, you got some players on that Dolphins team that are also playing to attract the attention of other teams that might be willing to make trades with the Dolphins. So that's why I think the Dolphins can keep this close enough where I like the 19 in Miami on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, there's just so many points, you know, in the NFL. And, I mean, touchdowns and scores happen, you know. So, I mean, that's just so much to cover. It's interesting, yeah, that you bring up, you know, that the Dolphins have star players that are kind of, you know, showing out like it's, you know, week 17 and they're about to be free agents, except it's week 2 and we just started the year. You know what I mean? It's just funny. They got an odd situation going on in Miami. But yeah, I mean, 19.5 points is just so many. And then, you know, what's the stat? I think the Patriots have lost 5 of the 6, you know, their last games, I think, in Miami. Something like that, something very odd. And not that the Patriots are going to lose by any means, but right. I'm with you. Yeah, like, if you're going to give me 19 points in the NFL, I'm going to take that 10 out of 10 times, because I'm probably going to win that 8 out of 10 times.
Well, it's also the same reason, like, you look at this Cowboys contest at Washington, and this is a game that Dallas certainly wants to take control of the NFC East, so this looks like, this is just free money right there, as they're on the road. They have to give the 6 to Washington, right? And I just think that Washington, I mean, remember, too, Adrian Peterson, you know, he still has some miles left in those tires, and because of the injury to Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson will be dressed and playing on Sunday against the Cowboys. I'm not saying Washington will win this, but I think they can keep it within 3 or 4.
Yeah, I definitely do, especially with such a big win that Dallas had in week one. And it's odd, yeah, you know, if you're Adrian Peterson, you go from inactive in week one to the starter in week two. It's just crazy. Hate that for Darius Geis, man. He's a good kid. I like him a lot. He's going to be a star in this league. I just hate to see, you know, now we're looking at 2 knee injuries, you know, and I don't know if it's the same knee or the opposite knee. And shoot, I'm not a doctor, so don't listen to my medical
opinion. And you don't play play one on TV either, do you?
No. Right. No. People know I'm way too dumb for that. But, yeah, I mean, you just hate to see that. Yeah, I mean, you know, look at Washington, what they did against Philly. Like, I mean, you know, they were, what, 9.5 point dogs. They were up by 20 at one point. Then they were down by, you know, 15. Just craziness. We'll see. You know, Washington's just going to have a tough time offensively. They might have some problems scoring. But as long as that Alabama defensive line that they have out there is rolling. Yeah, I mean, you know, they can keep a score low. It might be a good underplay.
Starts with Jonathan Allen. You got nose tackle Payne as well. So, yeah, you might be onto something. How about this fun game?
You can hire Nick Saban on Sundays.
Yeah, there you go. He's got some free time on Sunday afternoons, maybe. This is a rematch of the NFC Championship game. The Saints were on the short end, and, you know, you can blame officiating all you want, a bad call, whatever the case may be. The Saints still had opportunities to win that game, and they didn't get it done last year against the Rams. This one is being played in Los Angeles. Emotional win on Monday night for Monday Night Football, and then the Saints have to go to the West Coast. Am I just misreading this? Everybody just assumes the Saints are going to find a way to get this job done on Sunday against the Rams. I'm not quite seeing that. I know that you know, sometimes because you have, you know, you can mentally have any kind of little games that you want to play to get yourself up for a game, to give you an edge or whatever. To me, that it might work against the Saints in this game. I think it's going to be a close game, but I just like the Rams in this contest.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, and I think this, you know, I think we kind of all know who the Saints are, you know, in a given sense. I think this is a good, you know, kind of test of who are the Rams, right? You know, are the Rams the same team that they were last year, you know, or are they who kind of everyone in the media thinks is going to fall off from, you know, a 11-12 win team to say a 9-win team. And not that that answer is going to be, you know, laid out for us in week two. You know, it takes a long time, you know, throughout the year to truly understand who a team is. But yeah, I think we're just going to be educated a little bit more on what this Rams team, specifically the offense. I want to see Todd Gurley. We still don't know. And it's starting to get to the point where, you know, I just don't know when this guy's ever going to be back, like in a full Todd Gurley type mode. So we'll see. I'm with you. It should be a great game between those two teams, for sure.
Having a chance to visit with Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. You know, another matchup are the Packers. They certainly, when you think about statements that they sent as far as week one, the Green Bay Packers certainly did on that Thursday night, a game against the Chicago Bears and being able to display their defense. They probably, if you're a fan of the Packers, would have loved to see more of their offense on display. They're going to need it this Sunday as they host the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, I'm not going to take away from the nice win by Minnesota over Atlanta, but I also will say that Minnesota was certainly helped by the lack of looking like the season had begun for the Atlanta Falcons, per se. I like Green Bay. I think this will be a tight game, but I like the Packers at home against the Vikings on Sunday.
Wow, that'd be a big win, and I'm not against you. You know, like we just talked about the previous game. you know, we're going to find out a little bit more about both of these guys. And, you know, give the Packers credit. I mean, you start week one, you beat the Chicago Bears, you took down, you know, a team in the division, you got a chance to do it again. You know, these one-game wins are essentially like two wins. And give Matt LaFleur credit. He was the only rookie head coach in the NFL that won in week one. I know Cliff Kingsbury tied, but every other you know, rookie coach with that particular team lost. And if he could start out 2-0 by taking down specifically the two teams in the division that they're going to be fighting with, and you can go ahead and get that leg up, it's huge, not only for the schedule and the standings, but just from a confidence perspective of everybody else. You know, Aaron Rodgers included. You know, there's everybody that, you know, believes that they can do it. But once you start doing it, you just feel so much better. So I'm with you. We're going to have a lot of good divisional games. I like that they start getting these early, and then we get them, you know, week 16 and week 17 as well. The NFL's nailed it in terms of the schedule on that part.
I remember the very first question I asked of Coach Mike Vrabel as he was being introduced as head coach of the Titans. And my question to him was, everybody talks about the quote-unquote Patriots way. When can the Titans have a quote-unquote Titans way? And it's all about winning. It's all about winning championships. It's all about winning big games. Well, I go back to last year, you know, a playoff spot on the line when the Colts came to town on December 30th. And I understand no Marcus Mariota. The Titans lose that game, so Ant failed that test. You go back to 2017. Through the first 12 games, you're talking about 8-4, controlling the AFC South, laid two major eggs. You still make the playoff, but you're, instead of hosting a playoff game, you're on the road. You do beat Kansas City with a comeback in the second half and then get blasted by the Patriots. You go back to 2016. Once again, a team in control of their own destiny as far as the AFC South was concerned, have the lead. You're taking on a very bad Jacksonville team as far as the day before Christmas, and you don't show up. Whatever reason, the players talked to me about it, you know, after the season, and just said, you know, looked around, and for whatever reason, we just weren't up. We were flat. We weren't up, and it's like, you know, and they understood what was at stake. I bring it up because on Sunday, if the Titans can beat the Colts, they will be two games ahead of the Colts in the AFC South and up two games through the first 2 weeks on the team that loses in that contest between Houston and Jacksonville. I bring it up because every test in recent years, the Titans have had a chance to, you know, take control of certain things as far as that's in their control. They've failed those tests. This is a tight game. They're favored by 3 against Indianapolis. You know, they may find a way emotionally because of the fact that Steve McNair's, the late Steve McNair, his jersey being retired along with Eddie George's jersey. But if they do win, I think it's going to be like by 1 or 2, 28-27, something along those lines. But, I until you beat Indianapolis, I understand no Andrew Luck. No Andrew Luck 2 years ago and the Titans swept that season series. But you got to stop the tight ends. You got to stop Marlon Mack running the ball. And you got to be able to stop that pass rush because last week Colts put a lot of pressure on Phillip Rivers and the Chargers.
No, you're right. And, you know, everybody talks about, like, you know, a Patriot way or, like, being great, like, you know, how do teams do it? You know what they do? They show up and win these games. Like, that's what they do. Like, they just win these games when they have to do it. We saw, you know, Sunday night, you know, the Patriots, you know, playing against the Steelers. And did anyone have any question what was going to happen? And the Steelers are a pretty good team, right? But it's like you don't have any question about that the Patriots are going to hammer the Steelers. Like they're going to take them down because that's what they do. And the Titans have that opportunity right in front of them. And let me say this, you know, in terms of going from good to great, first off, what you have to do is you have to win to give yourself that opportunity. Check. They did that. Two, you have to understand and realize when you have an opportunity like that in front of you because you don't have that every week, and they've got it right here. It's exactly it, and I hope Mike Vrabel, and I bet that he is that he's not, you know, kind of avoiding the topic, you know, so it doesn't get talked about. No, we're talking about it every single day. Like, this is exactly the team that we have to beat. Forget everybody else. This is the team that we have to take down, and I want you to understand it, breathe it, live it, understand all of it. So this team had better come out and be fired up because if they don't, just wipe it off. Wipe it off the board because it doesn't matter what they do the rest of the year. You know it's going to come down to a Colts type game, and they're not going to get it done. So this is exactly how you go from good to great, and I can't wait to see what they do with it Sunday.
Well, and the other part, too, I mean, if you have a franchise quarterback, a true franchise quarterback, you have to be able to string together games like what Marcus Mariota did last week, 248 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And, oh, by the way, it was great that Corey Davis blocking downfield throughout as far as with Derrick Henry's 75-yard touchdown with the on the screenplay. But the bottom line is, if you're a number one receiver, you can't go 0 for the week as far as catching passes.
No. I mean, everybody's got to be on board, ready to go. And there might be plays where you've got your receiver blocking downfield. I mean, guys do that, you know. But, yeah, I mean, they've got to be in sync. And they've got to have their receivers going. A.J. Brown's got to be ready. Delaney's got to be ready. They've got to be ready on the offensive line. You're probably going to see, you know, a fullback type tight end chip, you know, type situation. And Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis have got to be ready. We saw Derrick Henry last week. We saw Derrick Henry the last 4 to 5 weeks of the 2018 season. You know who needs to step up is Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis talked about all offseason about how he was ready and he hated what happened last year and he knows he's better than that. Well, you know what? These are the type of games you do it. And he came from the New England Patriots, man. Like, this is where you show it. So, again, I know I'm getting fired up, but this is a game to be fired up about. And I hope fans are fired up because these opportunities, you know, not every game is the same in the NFL. This one means a little bit more, and it should, because that means that you've got something to play for.
Well, the other part, too, the Colts are not going to be committing 18 penalties for 182 yards like the Browns did last week.
No, they're not. They're not going to have any left tackles get ejected. Like, you're going to have to earn every bit of it. You know what I mean? But that's good. Like, this is going to be a good check of where this team is, where the attitude is. And let me say this, you know, we talked about, you know, the negativity in terms of losing your star, you know, left tackle and Taylor Lewan. Well, guess what? You win this game, you start 2-0, and you go, you know, 3-1, 4-0, you know, while he's gone, and he comes back fired up. That's a rallying point. Now you turn a negative into a positive. So, I mean, there's so many little factors that go into this, but just point blank, this is a must-win game. And I know it sounds crazy in week two, but this is absolutely a must-win game because it's going to tell you exactly where the spine sits in the backbone of this team.